In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is verses 3 to 6 of the scripture reading. I'll read those verses again. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." When Jimmy Carter was president, we heard quite a bit about the fact that a born-again Christian now occupied the White House. The idea of being born again was thereby thrust into national prominence. About the same time, a book on the subject by Billy Graham became a bestseller. Americans are still hearing a good deal about being born again because most of the people associated with the so-called moral majority, led by the Reverend Jerry Falwell, regard themselves as born-again Christians. Then there is the charismatic movement. Clearly, the concept of being born again has a biblical basis. Jesus talked about it to Nicodemus. But Nicodemus was puzzled. He knew a person could not be born again physically. So how was it possible to be born again? That was Nicodemus' question. Can we be born again by improving our behavior? We can decide to be more patient and loving. We can perform our duties more conscientiously. We can become morally better people. But is that how we're born again? Does the new birth occur by our striving for a closer walk with God? By praying more fervently? By loving God more deeply? By repenting more sincerely? Or are we born again by deciding to remain more open to the guiding and the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can equate unalloyed happiness and undisturbed peace with being born again? I know what you're saying. Of course not. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, says Jesus. By virtue of our physical birth, we are born with a perversion of our being, a corruption of our nature. St. Paul said it, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." We're infected with a disease that affects our whole being. Paul cried out in anguish, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, this endless struggle with the powers of evil within?" We're not dealing here with the hysterical imagination of a hypochondriac, but with the sober reflections of a scholar and a thinker who had wrestled toward heaven and had found himself utterly unable to reach it because of forces at work at the very center of his being, which reduced all his efforts to futility. As flesh born of flesh, we are at enmity with God. What's more, we're dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. And dead people cannot make themselves come alive. So we cannot be born again. by our decision, our effort. How are we born again? Except the man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water and the Spirit, baptism. We're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit in the water and the word of baptism. St. Paul says that we've been baptized into Christ, into the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. We have received forgiveness, not only for the sin we were born with, but for all the sins into which our sinful nature leads. We've also received life, the life demonstrated in Christ's resurrection, the life that never dies. That's how we're born again, by the power of the Spirit in baptism. It's not something we do, it's something God does to us. But can we be sure that we're born again when we look at the coldness of our love, the sluggishness of our prayers, our allurement by the things of the world? We can be sure. Because what God did at the cross and the empty tomb and in our baptism stands, despite our imperfections. God is faithful even though we are not. God's love doesn't change even though ours does. It's the overwhelming love of God in Jesus Christ that enables us to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. It's the contemplation of what Jesus went through for us that drives out our complacency. It's the assurance of that eternal victory which Dr. Eggold has already achieved that gives us hope each day. So the evidences of the new birth are there. It's a mystery how the new birth could happen to wretched sinners like you and me. Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind blows and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. But then there are many other mysteries. Last Sunday, Trinity Sunday, we thought about what a great God we have. Oh, the depth of the riches, of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? There's a limitation to our knowledge. We see through a glass darkly. There are tragic occurrences which we cannot explain. Difficult situations in our lives which we cannot understand. But this we can say, I believe in God the Father. I believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe that I am a child of God because I am baptized. I believe that in the power of this triune God, I shall overcome the world with all its hang-ups and all of mine. This we can say because we are born again people. Amen.